And I want us to look at that real quickly. We're going to believe God to come and minister to us and to establish His work in our hearts and our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you there?
Yes.
Are some of you still on your way? Okay. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that some of you were pagans. Somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says that Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God who works all of them in all men. Now, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. I'm reading NIV and I'm thinking King James. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The manifestation of the Spirit, the gifts, what we refer to as the gifts of the Spirit, and the word, nothing wrong with the word gift of the Spirit, but really what Paul is talking about is the manifestations of the Spirit. And the word manifest just simply means to reveal something that's already present. And so the Holy Spirit begins to manifest Himself, and Paul tells us here in 1 Corinthians that He can manifest Himself in a variety of ways. He can manifest Himself in different forms of the spiritual power that is needed to accomplish whatever God needs to accomplish at a particular moment. Jesus put it this way when he talked to His disciples before He was going away in John chapter 16. He said, I tell you the truth, it is for your benefit, it is necessary that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Spirit cannot come, the Comforter, the Counselor will not come. But if I go away, I will send Him unto you. The Scriptures make it absolutely clear to us that if we're going to accomplish the things that God has called His church to do, then we need a fresh empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God for our lives. The fullness of the Spirit is given to believers for an empowerment for effective ministry in fulfilling God's purposes in our lives. Jesus said it in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. In Acts chapter 2, Peter, after receiving this empowerment, told the multitudes of people that were around that this promise, this gift of the Spirit, is for you. That was all those that were listening. He says it's for your children. That is all the generations that will come after you. He went on further. He said this is for those that are far off. That is all those outside of the commonwealth of Israel that didn't have access to the promises and the teachings of Scripture and to Torah and the prophets. And then he went and added one more. He said, and this promise of Holy Spirit outpouring is for all those whom the Lord our God shall call. And as long as God is still calling people out of sin, as long as He's still calling people to Himself, He is still empowering them with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit and receive His promises, then we can expect the Spirit then to manifest Himself in any of these gifts and empowerments that He said. Spiritual gifts are God's work. They're not man's work. He doesn't give them to us. We refer to them as the gifts of the Spirit, not the gifts of the evangelist or the gift of the pastor. It's the gifts of the Spirit. They belong to Him. And He manifests them through people who will allow Him to speak through them. There's a variety of gifts, but they're all the same Spirit. And they're all given for the benefit of all. I want us to look at a few scriptures this morning. Turn with me real quickly to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. This is that passage of scripture that we refer to as the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 15, it says that Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will condemn." And then listen what he says about those who will believe when they hear this message. He said, listen, "For whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and those who believe and are saved, who are baptized, who have received the Spirit of God," he says, "and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well." The message of this commission of the Lord, the Great Commission, I refer to it, of spreading the gospel, was not just for one generation. It is for all time. The Great Commission is intended for the entire church age. From the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost until Jesus comes back again to receive his people, this promise of the, or this empowerment of the Great Commission is given to everyone. And he has promised that as long as this Great Commission needs to be proclaimed, that I'm going to give you power. I'm going to enable you, and there's going to be signs, and there's going to be wonders that will flow through the message of this great gospel of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn back to the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. No, chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. I knew I had it here somewhere. The Apostle Paul, in talking about this, says to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Spirit's power." Listen to that. My words, my preaching was not in wise and persuasive words, but were in demonstration of the Spirit's power. And then listen, he says, "It is so that your faith will not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." The demonstration of the Spirit is given so that our faith will rest not in the persuasion that someone has given, not because someone was a great orator and dissected the scriptures for us, but our faith will rest in the moving and the power of the Holy Spirit of God that makes God real in our hearts and in our lives, so that our faith will rest not on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Romans tells us the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable, that he doesn't take them back. The gifts are not withdrawn. James says that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no shadow of change. That Hebrews says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The overwhelming evidence of Scripture, folks, is that the gifts of the Spirit will never be taken away. This wonderful outpouring of the Holy Ghost of God will never be taken away. But that same empowerment that was needed at the very beginning of the church age is needed today at the very close of this church age. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 through 12, is the passage that is used by many times by people to try to use it as a proof text that God has withdrawn these wonderful gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 through 12, it reads this: "Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I spake like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." There comes the King James out again. "Now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And while many may use this scripture to try to say, the scriptures say that tongues will cease and prophecy will end and we won't have this, is that really what this scripture is saying? What is it saying? Saying that it will end, but in reality, when we look at it, it's not saying that it will end. It's, in fact, the very opposite is true. In verse 12, it talks about them ending, but in what sense will they pass away? Well, what sense will they pass away, and when will they pass away? The scriptures make it clear that they'll pass away when that which is perfect has come. Well, what is that which is perfect? That which is perfect is when Jesus comes back and brings perfection in our lives, when he who is the perfect one comes to rule and to reign on the earth. In what way will they pass away? Verse 12 tells us that it's not that they will pass away from some to none, but it says that they will pass away from that which is in part to that which is full. And so they're not going down, they're going to increase, it's going to be enlarged. It's not from some to none. It's from in seeing in part to that which is full. The second coming of Jesus Christ, that which is in part will be brought into fullness. Therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, let me jump back there again. Paul says, therefore, you do not lack in any spiritual gift as you wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong till the end. Till the end. So that you will be blameless on the day of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. The gifts that God has promised, these wonderful blessing of the fullness of the Spirit, is God's great desire for us. So Paul says, just keep on preaching. He's going to keep you faithful to the end. He's going to continue to keep pouring himself out upon you. So keep being faithful. Keep preaching. Keep teaching. Keep expecting God to confirm his word with signs following. Now, let's turn back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want us just to look at those gifts real quickly again. How much time do I have? Oh, I'm doing very good. I'm going as fast as I possibly can. I've got all my jokes crossed out. No joke here. Well, buy the tape. When we look at these gifts that are listed here, these manifestations, we call them the nine charismata, the spiritual gifts, these nine gifts that are listed. And one of the things we run into a problem with sometimes in the church is that we try to, first of all, this is never meant by Paul to be an exhaustive list of all the ways that the Spirit manifests himself in our lives. It's not what Paul is talking about here. It's not just giving us these nine gifts and says these are the things that the Holy Spirit does. And we had to be careful that we don't do them we don't try to put them in little boxes and little categories and say this gift is this and this gift is that and this gift. Because many times we see that the gifts just kind of like blend together. Why? Because they're not little separate things. They are the Holy Spirit of God manifesting himself to us. And he may manifest himself through words of wisdom and knowledge, through discerning his spirits, through great ways that he works through us in signs and wonders. So we need to be very careful that we don't just lock him into these boxes. Well, what gift do I have? I've got the gift of prophecy, and so that's it. And unless somebody needs prophecy, don't come to me. God help us. You know, I've often thought about it. You know, we look at these gifts and we read the scriptures where it says that he gives his gifts severally as he wills. And we interpret that to mean that he gives each individual in the church a gift. He gives you 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 two gifts because you're spiritual. You know, and so we kind of lock it in. You know, I've got the gift of prophecy, or I've got the gift of tongues, or I got the gift of healing, and we lock it in there, and then we read the scriptures where Jesus says to, or Paul tells us to pray earnestly for the best gift. You know, it's like, what is that? You know, as soon as we say that, everybody says love. Well, love's not a gift. Love's a fruit. You know, everybody needs that. But, you know, the best gifts are gifts, and all the gifts should be operating in love. But what is the best gift? Well, you know, I think the best gift is the gift that's needed at the moment. And the Holy Spirit can flow through His people because they are His gifts. They're not our gifts. They belong to Him. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so He can manifest Himself in whatever way is necessary at the moment. If you come across somebody that is dying in the hospital, and they need healing, they need a miracle of God, but all you got is a gift of prophecy. You know? You could stand over them all day. Yay, the wind shall blow from the north to the south. And what they need is somebody. And what's the Holy Ghost going to go and say, oh, man, I sent the person with the wrong gift. Sorry. No. It is the Holy Spirit, and all of the manifestations, all the gifts of the Spirit reside in Him. And when we are full of the Holy Spirit who is a person, not a liquid, not an influence, not a wind, not a fire, not oil, Holy Spirit can manifest Himself through the child of God who is hungry and open and receptive to God and allowing faith to flow in his life so he can move and give a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. He can speak a word of healing in people. We are God's people. We're filled with the Spirit, and we need to allow, so we have to be careful. And in saying all that, now I'm going to list all the gifts of the Spirit. So just ignore everything I just got done saying. No, I want us just to see these that are listed here and understand that the Holy Spirit is not limited to flowing in a particular gift that we have listed here, but he can flow, he can blend his gifts, his manifestations. He is there for every need. There is a manifestation of the Spirit. He is not limited. Whatever is needed, the Holy Spirit has the remedy and has the word. The Holy Spirit working through you in the fullness of the Spirit to manifest Himself in meeting any need according to God's purposes and fullness. And most people, when they look at these gifts of the Spirit, see them really three categories of gifts. And I think that's fine to look at them that way. We see, first of all, gifts of or manifestations of revelation manifestations. And we see the three gifts that are in each one of these divisions. The gift of, first of all, the revelation gifts are for effectively revealing and making known anything God desires to choose to reveal to His people at any moment. And so God has times of revelation that He drops a word into our mind. That God, who is the fountainhead of all wisdom and all knowledge, of all understanding, can at any moment drop a word of revelation into someone's mind, in someone's heart. We talk about them. The word of wisdom, it says. Paul says to some are given a word of wisdom, are used at times in the word of wisdom. God, who is the storehouse of wisdom, can dip into that great limitless fountain of His understanding and reveal what He desires for us to know at any particular moment, at any particular time, in any particular place. So as you're ministering, as you're speaking with someone, as you're dealing with a difficult situation, not knowing what direction to go, and the Holy Spirit can just suddenly begin to flow through this manifestation and drop a word of wisdom in our lives. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen many times, Pastor, at church business meetings or at board meetings where a difficult decision needs to be made by the church that's going to affect maybe the future of the church for generations. And they're praying about it, they're thinking about it, and different people are coming up with different ideas and different solutions. And then all of a sudden somebody says, I just feel like maybe we should look at it this way. And they say something, and all of a sudden it's just a word of a supernatural word of wisdom. It's beyond natural understanding. It's beyond something that they've been thinking about and reasoning about. But suddenly a word just comes on them, and they share that. And the rest of the group says, that's God. That's God. It just bears witness with our spirit. And all of a sudden, God just begins to reveal that, oh, he can do that in a home. He can do that in a family. The spirit-filled people of God in their homes, in their families. They have those choices that make that are going to, you know, I was talking with someone the other day, and we're talking about, as pastors, that sometimes the decisions that we make to go pastor a church. You, many years ago, Pastor Mike, you and Renee left the Holy Land of New Jersey. It might be flowing milk and honey here, but we've got meatballs. We've got hoagies. But you made that decision to come under God's direction and God's guidance. It makes for generations, the Modica family is going to be different because of decisions that you made. You know, they're going to be here. They're going to live in this area. You know, the decisions that we make and how we need God. And God just drops words of wisdom in our lives and understanding. We don't fear. We don't fear that. We just listen for his voice and a spirit-filled believer, but wait for those wisdom. And then Paul says, to some are given a word of knowledge. By the same spirit, that ability to grasp God's knowledge about something. And listen, it's a supernatural. It's not gained through studying and research and trying to come at, but it is a supernatural gift. It is God suddenly giving us understanding and knowledge about something that could only be supernaturally revealed. A word that just God drops into our heart, drops into our mind, and we know that that's God. You're witnessing on the street to somebody you've never met before, you've never talked to them before, and as you're witnessing, suddenly the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and drops a word of information, a word of knowledge you had no way of knowing about that person, and you share that because the Holy Spirit just increases that faith in your life that's him speaking, and you share that word, and all of a sudden the veil is ripped off of their eyes and their ears are unstopped, and the word of God penetrates their hearts because it was something there was no way you could know about. This is all the wonderful gifting of the Holy Spirit. And then he says there's to some are used, and the Spirit manifests himself in the discerning of spirits. You know, this is one gift probably that's misunderstood greatly in the church. It isn't the gift of a suspicious nature. We got a lot of people like that, you know, that think it's, I get a bad feeling about that person. You know, I've never trusted people with beards. You know, just, and the, listen, this gift, this discerning of spirits is not a gift of suspicion. I don't really trust that person, you know, there are some natural inclinations that we have, you know, some self-preserving mechanisms that go in our lives, that sometimes we get those vibes about people. Sometimes it's just because we ate too much pizza the night before, but you know, nothing, it's not spiritual. It's not a supernatural gift. The discerning of spirits is that supernatural ability to distinguish between false and true doctrine, between what is of God and what is not of God, what is of Satan. The Bible tells us that the devil comes as an angel of light. He comes to deceive. Boy, if ever was a day and an hour where the church needs to be full of the Holy Ghost and be sensitive to the Spirit to drop a word of discernment in our hearts, this discerning of spirits, it's today. There is the work of the enemy to deceive and to confuse. He brings deception, deceiving manifestations, and we need to have the Spirit of God in our lives so that we're not people of judgment, but we're people that discern what is of God and what is not of God. And he talks about the power gifts, the manifestations, showing forth God's power, God's glory and his greatness, his majesty, his victory over sickness, over disease, over death. Miraculously providing and supplying for the needs, for deliverance and overcoming of nature itself. The word, he says, some will be manifested at times in the gift of faith, the ability to trust God against all odds for healing, for provision, that absolute confidence. Listen, we all grow in faith. But there is those times when the Spirit begins to flow through us in a supernatural, beyond our own reason, beyond our own limit, where a word of faith is dropped into our heart, a supernatural gift of faith that we know it beyond any shadow. We don't have to pray about it anymore. We just thank God for it because we know it's done. We haven't psyched ourselves up. We haven't tried to convince ourselves. You know, we haven't sung spiritual songs all day so that we can psych ourselves up and get rid of all doubt. It's just God dropped something in our minds. I've had it happen to me at times. Praying for people in a hospital who I didn't know. I've never known, and they're facing life-threatening things. And I ask them if I can pray, and as I pray, the Holy Spirit will drop a word of faith in my heart. And I'm able to turn to him and say, don't worry, you're healed. You're healed. Don't worry. You don't do that. You don't do that unless God drops that in your heart. You don't do that. And it's a gift of faith. It's beyond the natural realm. It's the Holy Spirit of God. I got to hurry on. There's a gift of gifts of healings that he flows through us. God's supernatural power to perform or receive healing in our lives. Sometimes we have the gift of healing for ourselves, to receive that healing in ourselves. Sometimes we'll use to speak healing in others. It's beyond the prayer of faith, which all of us are called to do. All of us are called to lay hands on the sick. All of us are called to pray and to believe. But there comes that supernatural moving and manifestation of the Holy Spirit that goes beyond the natural and is used of God to release the power of God in miraculous healings. Then he talks about the working of miracles, the acts of power, the Holy Spirit overruling nature itself and natural laws to accomplish God's purpose. Recreating of organs of bodies, the miraculously providing, seeing of God do supernatural things. The scriptures are just full of these gifts. And thirdly, we have the vocal gifts. Supernatural gifts through which God can speak through man anything he chooses to tell him. The gift of tongues. We saw that in operation this morning, as well as the gift of interpretation, these next two. The gift of tongues, a spiritual language given by God the Holy Spirit beyond the speaker's own understanding or ability to discern, communicating from our spirit to the Spirit of God, and that are times that the Spirit of the Lord will begin to flow through us. Speaking in tongues there's two phases to it. There's what we refer to as the initial evidence that God has filled us with the Spirit. It's our prayer language. It's what we do in private. It's what we do when we're around the altar praying with ourselves, just praying and seeking the Lord. It's that holy prayer language that lifts up our spirit and builds us up and says it edifies us, it increases our faith. It sensitizes us to the prophetic in our lives. We're praying in the Spirit. But there are times when the Holy Spirit will use us then to, in a public gathering of believers, to give a message. We refer to it as a message in tongues or the manifestation of tongues. Not everyone will be used that way. Everyone can be, but not everyone will be used in the gift of tongues to give a message in tongues. And that's that time of interpretation. See, one of the mistakes that many people see is that or make in this is that they look at the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, and those in the upper room were all praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Spirit, and it says that people heard them from all over the world, heard them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. And so there have been many that think, well, this gift of tongues is a missionary gift. It is the ability to speak foreign languages for missionary outreach. But that's not what happened. If you remember, the disciples on the day of Pentecost in the upper room weren't preaching. They weren't proclaiming the gospel to the... They were just worshiping Jesus. They were just glorifying God in a holy language. And God was taking what they were saying and distributing it into different people who heard different languages, and they were able to hear what they were saying. And what they were saying was not, get right with God. You heathen. What they heard them saying was, we give you glory, we give you praise, we give you honor, we magnify you. And they heard them worshiping and praising God. And so the gift of tongues, or the prayer language of tongues, is that for all of us to involve in. But then God will prompt us at times. We need to all be sensitive to being used in that way, to give that message. I wish I could had a lot of time to talk about that, because I think it probably needs to be talked about more in our churches, because it's the easy one, it seems. You know, most people will vote for the message in tongues, speaking in tongues, rather than the others, because the other ones, they gotta kind of like, you know, to give the interpretation is like, they know what I'm saying now. You know, what if I mess it up? And so we need to do that. We need to always understand that God wants to use everyone. And then God will use it. And if God does use you, you need to pray earnestly that he will give you then the interpretation of that tongue. And if he chooses then to use someone else in the body, that person will give the interpretation, not the translation, the interpretation. There's a big difference. You know, it's not a word-for-word translation. That's why you hear some messages in tongues that seem like they go from now to next Tuesday. You know? And the interpretation is, yay, I am with you. And you're like, you know? You think maybe the Holy Spirit was stuttering or something, you know, with the first message, you know? It's like, no, it's an interpretation, that's all. But some of us, once we start blowing the whistle, have a hard time getting our hand off the cord. We just keep, you know, once we get started, you know, we keep on going. Well, that message is like an alert. Sometimes I just see it like an alert. It's like the Holy Spirit speaking in this holy language through us. And it's like an alert for the church. There's a word from the Lord coming. There's a word of blessing and worship to the Lord coming. So open up your heart. And then the Spirit of God can give that emphasis of what he wants to say. That's why there are many times that two or three people will have the interpretation. It'll be different words, but the essence of it is the same. It's wonderful. It's God working through human failing flesh. And let me tell you something. We don't always do it right. I'm not going to take time to tell you some of the things that I have heard as interpretation of tongues. It'll make a great CD someday. Be a bestseller, you know? But that doesn't negate the reality of it. It's human beings who are trying to respond to the Spirit of God. And God chooses to do that. God chooses to allow us. That's why, you know, I love Pastor Mike. And I don't like to say that much. I do, and because I love his spirit. I tell everybody about this church, and I just because I love his spirit. And he's not a person that's going to stand up. Back when Pastor Mike, back when you and I were growing up, if someone got up and gave a message in tongues and it wasn't of God, I mean, it was pretty obvious, they'd have got slammed. Remember that? They'd have got slammed, you know? Sit down, you're out of order. I got to just pick you up and carry you out the back door, you know? Like, beat you up in a parking lot, you know? It's like, I was like, But you know, we make room for people to grow in it, and if you do it and it's just not really, really good, you'll have a leader in the church who will speak to you privately and help you to discern that, help you to learn how to use it, because none of us are perfect in this thing. None of us have got it all together. You know, we're not all got it down. We're not experts in this. And so sometimes I made a mistake once. One time I thought I was wrong, but I was really right. But we do, and so we have brothers and sisters. And if you're not willing to accept correction and guidance and direction in it, then you need to sit down and be quiet. Then you haven't earned the right. You disqualify yourself from being used in a public gathering. You know, anytime you do that, anytime you stand up to take time in the worship of Almighty God to express something, that we need to be sensitive to say, God, if I'm not doing this right, if it's just me, If I was just reading a book this week and it really sounded exciting and I want to share that with everybody, you know, then you need to be sensitive to say, God, I'm willing to be corrected. I'm willing to have direction because I want to do it the best I can. And so the gifts of the Spirit, the word of what am I talking about? Tongues and interpretation are forgiven. And then he used the last one, the gift of prophecy. Telling forth God's message. I got to end here. Telling forth God's message. Well, let me say this. I got to end here because it's time for the next service. Think. The Spirit of God inspired the Apostle Paul in all of his instructions about these wonderful outpourings of the Spirit, these wonderful manifestations of God's Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to say to the people, desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit. Desire earnestly to be used in the gifts. Why? It is God's great desire to pour through you for the sake of all of his purposes and all of his plans. It's not ours. It's not for us. The gifts of the Spirit are not God's stamp of approval on our character, on our lifestyle. It's not God saying, oh, look how spiritual this person is. They're being used of the Spirit. It doesn't have anything to do with that. Fruit of the Spirit has to do with that. And listen, if you're somebody that's used in a manifestation of the Spirit and your life in private is not what it should be, just give it a little time and God's going to expose it. God's going to make sure that it's known because God is not going to be mocked. But we need to be sensitive to God. We need to be hungry for God. And we need to allow it. And we need to seek earnestly that God would use us in the manifestations of the Spirit. Not just here in the four walls of the church, but out into the streets. That's where God wants to fulfill his purposes. And I believe today that God is calling his church in this last hour. Was there ever a day that the church needed to begin to move in another dimension of the Holy Spirit is today. I want everybody to stand with me all over the room. Father, I pray it right now. Let there come a wind of the Spirit that would seal in the hearts of your children a hunger and a longing and a desire for the moving of God in their hearts. I ask, Spirit of the Lord, that you would begin to flow right now with great power and great passion over your church. Lord, your word over and over again continues to tell us, seek earnestly the best gift. Desire earnestly the gifts of the Spirit. Desire that we would be moved upon by the Holy Spirit. Desire that there would be the manifestation of the Spirit's presence in our lives that will flow through us. Lord, you have given all of these manifestations for the benefit of all. For the benefit of all. For the accomplishment of your purposes and your desires and plans in the world. God, it's not meant to be a sideshow or entertainment for the church. It's human beings coming into cooperation and partnership with the King of the universe. That he could, the awesome God could drop a word of his wisdom and understanding and knowledge into our feeble human minds. And we could speak something we didn't have any prior knowledge of. We could lay hands on someone that's sick. We have no ability, we have no power, we have no strength to make them well, but we can reach out and lay a hand on them or speak a word, and the Almighty God flows through his people and releases a healing stream and a healing flow. We could be under insurmountable, life-threatening, dangerous situations, circumstances, and all of a sudden the all-omnipotent God flows through failing, faltering human flesh. Reverses the course of nature. And accomplishes your purpose through your people. Lord, may we hunger for you tonight. May we hunger for you. May we desire to be used for this gift. You inspired Peter to say, this gift is for us. It's for us today. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't left us here at the end of the age without the powerful witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Without that supernatural endowment to make us effective. And so I pray your blessing on your church right now. Stir it up, Lord God, in our lives. Would you just lift your hands and just let's welcome the Holy Spirit to come. Let's welcome him to come. So Holy Spirit, put within me a hunger and a longing and a desire for fullness. That I would walk, Lord, in your power. Just tell him that. Holy Spirit, would you begin to flow through me in the gifts? Would you put that hunger and that longing for your manifestation, the manifestation of your presence in my life? Would you put that hunger in me right now? Would you just fill me with such a passion, such a longing? Would you increase our faith, Lord, to trust you and to believe you for those manifestations in our hearts and in our lives? Lord, I speak it in Jesus' name. While you just continue to worship the Lord, and pastor's going to come in just a moment, I want to just say to you, if maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus yet, you haven't really given your life to Jesus. You've been in this service, you've seen the worship, you've seen people around you that are worshiping and seem to love God in a way that maybe you haven't seen elsewhere. And there's something inside of you that says, you know, I want to know God in my life. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to give my life to him this morning. And if that's your desire, you say, Brother Bob, would you pray for me? I want to receive Jesus. I want Jesus to become the Lord of my life. If that's your desire, would you slip up your hand real quickly, straight up, and I'll see it. I want to pray for you this morning that God would do it. And say, that's me. I want to receive Jesus this morning. I want to receive Jesus this morning. Father, in the mighty name of the Anointed One, you're the God who hears our cry, that when we call on you, you respond, you bring life. And I call forth life to flow right now. In the Anointed One's name, forgiveness and heal. For those, Lord God, that have said, I want to receive Jesus this morning. Lord, in your powerful name, would you, Lord, you heard that cry in their heart. You saw their hand as it went up, Lord. And you came and began to do something supernatural in their lives. Old things will pass away and all things will become new. I bless him in Jesus' name right now.